Fresh Takes. That's right, folks. It's Fresh Takes. I'm okay. Yeah, I'm okay. Anyway, we got Fresh Takes. Get your Fresh Takes here. Or is it Half-Baked Takes? Okay, I know it's not that funny. Anyway, we have a great episode for you today. We got Nerdier Than You Are Chatfield on to talk to the boys. And we also have Don, it's a me, Mario Johnson, to talk to the boys as well a little bit afterwards. We got two interviews today just to talk about the things that we loved about the boys, the things that are a little bit weird, a little bit what's a little bit off, what our ratings are so far for the season, and, of course, our MVPs. Anyway, let's do it. Cue the music.
Cool.
Hello, welcome to Don't Evolve Me, the place like Ash, Kush, and Pikachu. We don't evolve, we just level up. We're here, half-baked takes. I did not practice this beforehand.
That's all right.
Hello, Tom, how are you?
Great.
We have Tom, Nerdier Than You Are Chatfield, joining us, and we have Donald joining us later to give us his thoughts on The Acolyte, The Boys, as well as House of Dragons, just a little bit. But we have Tom here to talk specifically about The Boys halfway through season four, which is why we're calling it Half-Baked Takes. Maybe we're half-baked as well. We are not giving you that information.
Yep, it's for everyone to decide themselves. By the way, I appreciate the call-out on the marquee for the WoWFest episode, or The Boys preview episode, where you changed my name.
Oh, the drunker than you
are? Yeah, that was good. I saw that. I was like, fair point.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you called yourself Tom Drunker Than You Are Chatfield.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, it was a rare occasion. I don't partake in that too often, but when I do, I do.
I usually don't partake in drinking, but I was like, the social occasion, I'm going to enjoy myself a little bit.
Exactly. That's what I thought. Worked like 6 months on this stupid thing. Might as well get free drinks out of it.
I worked, I think, a good solid 2 weeks just getting everything going, mm-hmm. ready to go. Bought some equipment for it, and it was a good time. It was a great...
Yeah, I think it was a good turnout.
Yeah, we had 46 total made it.
I think so.
Yeah. How are you feeling 2 weeks after WoWFest?
I mean, I haven't even been to the hobby store yet. I've just taken a break.
Everything Warhammer 40K?
Yep, I'm like, I'm out for a second.
I mean, that's fair.
It's usually how it goes, honestly. Most of us, like Brian, Mike, and I, are just like, yeah, I might show up and play some other random board game or something, but we're pretty much done for a couple weeks.
Yeah, I felt that way, just my own like energy. Mm-hmm. I did not want to do shit the next day. I was done.
Dude, honestly, it's such a high energy event. So like when you're there, you're almost like on this natural high of just mm-hmm. like everyone's excited and happy and drinking and, you know, conversing and everything like that. And so like, yeah, it's you're like coming down off of this like natural high bender, mm-hmm. essentially, of just fun.
Yeah, and that's, I also think, like, the neurodivergence in me. Like, I only have so much of a social battery, and once you get in, like, the reservoir, like, you're tapped for a few days, and sure. I was tapped for 2 days.
Fair.
So, and I know I mentally was like, I am doing nothing on Sunday. I am making no plans. I want to hang out with no one. And then Sapphire was like, hey, I invited one of your best friends over. I'm like,
oh, thanks.
I'm like, I don't want them there, but also, like, At least you invited someone I like.
Right. Someone you can put up with.
Yeah. Same night, too, one of my friends who lives in California was like, hey, I'm here for the weekend. We should go out. And I'm like, no, I can't. I mentally cannot.
Sure.
So, all right, let's get into it. What are you nerding out on, Mr. Tom?
Still playing some Fallout.
Yeah, you're telling me.
Yep. And then also I stumbled across, since we're talking about The Boys, mm-hmm. It was really random this week. I stumbled across an older movie series. I think the first one came out in like 2008.
I think it's 2000.
2000? Is it that early?
Is that old?
Oh, wow. Unbreakable?
Yeah, we can look it up. I'll look it up. You go on.
But yeah, it was a really interesting take on superheroes. And there's three movies in the series. And the first one is Unbreakable. The next one is Split. And the last one is Glass. But it has Sam Jackson, Bruce Willis, and what, John McAvoy? He's one of the Professor X's. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
John McAvoy?
Yes, he's his name? Professor X.
Yeah.
Sorry, my whole computer like freezed up for a second, so I had no idea if this is still even going. We're good.
Hey, sweet.
Nothing goes as well according to the plan.
It's not Don't Evolve Me without at least one technical glitch.
If not five.
Or scheduling glitches.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, this should have been a four-way right here, but alas, we can do it. We got this.
That's why I'm just going to invite as many people as possible.
Just shotgun invite and see, like, maybe someday we'll have a group of people.
Maybe.
Yeah. But yeah, no, so back to the Unbreakable series. Yeah, it was super in-depth. I think they qualified the genre as a mystery sci-fi suspense.
Yeah, I think that...
A superhero suspense is what they actually called it when I looked it up. It was very interesting. It makes you, like... The whole movie, you're basically like, okay, are these people really superheroes? Mm-hmm. And they do this really good job of slowly, like, saying, oh, yeah, they are. And then all of a sudden, like, they just do a complete 360 in the next movie, and they're like, nope, they're not superheroes. And then you're like, okay, yeah, maybe they're not. And then in the end, you're like, okay, they're superheroes again. Oh, okay, never mind, I don't know if they are or not. Yeah. It's really, really mind-bending.
It's a... Unbreakable, when I first watched it, and this I probably watched it in 2008. It was a while. It's been a while since I watched that movie, and I have a hard time going back to it because it is like it moves at a snail's pace.
Oh yeah,
and like in this climate, after so many superhero movies, it's hard to like watch something when it's so different than the other ones.
That's why I liked the different take. Yeah, though. It was very refreshing compared to. It's like the only superhero movie that I've enjoyed in the last 2 years.
That's fair. I have watched Split and Glass lately, though.
Yeah.
Split is probably my favorite one of the three.
Yeah, that one's super in depth.
And yeah, James McAvoy just really makes that like movie. His performance, like if you get anyone who performs less than that, I don't think the movie is good.
I can't remember what take it was, but there was a scene in there where he just like cycles through like eight different of his personalities. Mm-hmm. And they don't cut away from him. They actually film that in one take.
Yeah.
And it's like a 10-minute scene. And he just, like, starts rattling off and, you know, does his little... and then, like, switches to another personality. And you're just like, damn, dude.
Dang.
That was...
He was great.
Yeah. Cool. I'd never watched those before, so...
Oh, really? It was the first time?
First time I'd ever seen them.
All right. You mean your rating?
Oh, each one? I mean, I would put all of them pretty high. Unbreakable was pretty slow, and it just, you can tell it's a bit dated, you know, because it's almost 20 years old. Mm. So that one, I would still give that one a 3+. It was very interesting. Mm-hmm. It wasn't action-packed at all.
No.
It was very psychological, so you have to be in the right mood for that. But yeah, easily a 3+, 4- for that one.
I agree with
that. Split is easily a 4.
It's so great.
4+. That one was phenomenal. Just the acting with all those like complete the horde, all, every different character and every personality that he had was just amazing. And then Glass was enjoyable. I would put it at like a 4, 4-. I liked it. It was nice getting the answers finally after all of those two movies of, you know, what it was. So I don't know if we are worried about spoiling, you know, 16-year-old movies. But yeah, in the end, finally, they reveal that, yes, in fact, they are, in fact, superheroes.
Yeah.
There's a secret Illuminati organization that goes around and, like, kills, captures, or contains these superheroes so that they don't have an effect on the world.
Oh, yeah, that was the twist at the end of Glass, right?
Yep.
Okay.
It's been
a year or two since I've watched it.
The female psychologist that actually, like, captures the three of them and is doing therapy is a member of that secret organization, which I don't even think they name it in the series. But it was just very interesting. And the whole take with Sam Jackson's character where he was like, yeah, comic books are actually, like, a recounting of our gods in history and stuff like that. And, like, he kept saying like that's what comic books have stemmed from, and it's like a secret, you know, like language, you know, to tell about our past and to like pass down these stories. And so it was an interesting take. It's worth a rewatch if you haven't seen it in a while.
It might be worth a state of review.
Yeah, superhero.
I like it. All right. I haven't really changed up my nerding out. I mean, One Piece, I'm finally past Dressrosa. That's not really that relevant to you.
Nope.
It's supposed to be relevant to Brandon, because be like, hey, I finally finished Dressrosa. It took like months to finish that long arc.
So what number of episode is that in?
I'm at 747.
Oh, you're like 70% there, huh?
I am behind Brandon and Ro.
Yeah.
By 300 episodes.
Okay.
So in that regard, it's like, oh, wow, I feel like a disappointment, but also at the same point, I'm like, wait a second. I have a job. I have kids.
Right.
I watch it with my wife.
Yep.
And like, it's been 9 months and I've watched nearly 70% of it.
Nice.
Well, yeah, like 60% of it. I'm like,
what is it, like 1100 episodes or?
I think they're, 1100 is where they're like by, I believe. 1118 is where the manga is at.
Okay.
I believe they're at like 1110.
Sure.
Were like Japanese episodes. So yeah, I mean, I have plenty of time to catch up. Right. They're not finishing for another year or so. Otherwise, I've been playing a lot of Pokemon MMO.
Nice.
I think that might be the greatest Pokemon game of all time. It's just the five first generations into one giant MMO.
Okay.
And yeah, it's fun. And then just The Boys, House of Dragons, Acolyte. I watched The Boys for a second time. And then just getting into TikTok and been really getting into like doing reviews on TikTok. And it's kind of been fun, or just asking like the easy, like the questions. The one question I had for The Boys was, and maybe we can save it a little bit after we do the news. We'll answer that. Has The Boys been weird? Is it like the first like three episodes, was it kind of weird to go back?
It was a bit weird. But yeah, I think for different reasons, which I'm sure we'll discuss more about it. Yeah, but
let's start with that question.
It's a very different than the first three seasons.
We'll dive into that, because I think that's like my first like point that I have. But 13 minutes, perfect. Let's get into the news.
It's time for a news quickie.
All right, I got like eight things written here. There's a decent amount of news. James Gunn's DCU, it starts in December with Creatures Commando, the animated series. It's just big because they finally announced when it was going to be released. December, I think, was a lot sooner than most people realized. Superman, no longer Superman Legacy, is coming out July next year. So we had a whole year we're getting Superman. But we're getting the beginning of the story. And Creatures Commando comes out, I'm pretty sure, on HBO Max. Or if it's just Max now.
Max.
So, it's so confusing. yeah, that's coming out in December.
Who's the new Superman?
I don't even remember his name.
Okay.
I wouldn't say unknown. I can look it up. It's David something.
Okay. But more of a less known actor.
Less known actor, yeah. Number two, this is relevant. House of Dragons.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting a season three. It's confirmed.
All right.
Speaking on that front, it is also announced that they are starting development for the new Game of Thrones series called A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. It's going to tell the tale of Sir Duncan and Egg. So there is that. Invincible season three is rumored to be released early 2025, which is a lot sooner than when season two got released in comparison to season one. Instead of like 3 years, it's gonna hopefully only be one. Hopefully. Todd Howard has said a lot recently.
Yeah.
He's talking about Fallout a little bit, how he's not gonna rush Fallout 5 after the success of Fallout TV show. How do you feel about that?
I'm actually happy, I think.
You are?
Yeah, because, I mean, if they want to continue with their legacy of making stellar games, mm-hmm. I think they need to wait a long time in between them.
I agree that they have to wait a long time, but they're, at least for like Elder Scrolls, mm-hmm. it's been, we're working on our second decade.
Yeah, we're, what are we at, 2011 it came out, so we're pushing 13 years.
It's been 6 years since they teased it.
Yeah.
It's literally been 6 years. Mm. And they like they ask him about it. Hey, it's been 6 years. He's like, oh, it's been 6 years. Yeah, it's a long time. It's like, no shit, man.
They just got to stop putting assets into, you know, like the Elder Scrolls Online and
Starfield.
And Starfield. And it's like, hey, go with your bread and butter, man. Like, yeah. I think Elder Scrolls Online actually does have a decent membership and everything.
It does.
But it's no way going to make as much money as the next Elder Scrolls or the next Fallout's going to make them.
You just got to make one of them and re-release it for a decade.
Like, right, exactly.
That's probably where all their money is coming from, is all the re-releases.
The re-release Skyrim for the 8th time.
Todd Howard's just like, actually, my bread and butter is just re-release. When is PS6 comes out? Because we're going to re-release it for that.
Exactly.
He also made comments he's not going to release remake Fallout 1 or 2. Mm. Which, I'm like, I'm fine with that.
Does Bethesda even have the rights to that?
I don't know.
Because that would be another thing.
I assume.
It was made by another game studio.
Yeah, I assume he does. I think it's just more or less like those games have their own quirks. Play those games for the, like, you so, can play them now.
Yeah. One thing I just randomly discovered recently, we were talking about like the Easter eggs and stuff in the show. Mm-hmm. Remember how I was saying that the passcode to get the fusion generator going had 101 in it? And I thought it was Vault 101 or whatever.
Yeah.
Turns out that 10197 is actually the release date of Fallout 1.
Oh, nice.
So it's January 1st,
97. Nice. I like that. Yeah. That's a cool Easter egg. Two more news. Uncharted 2 is apparently in production.
Oh, the movie?
The movie.
I didn't mind the Uncharted movie. It was okay.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I felt about
it. It was serviceable as a fanfare.
It would have been great 10 years ago.
Yeah, when Uncharted was actually popular.
When it was popular and people just wanted to see it on screen. Mm-hmm. I felt like they could have done a lot better with it. Like they did The Last of Us.
Yeah.
I kind of like, I'm like, I almost want an Uncharted TV show. Mm-hmm. Where like we get an unknown, maybe, well, it doesn't matter who the actor is, as long as it's like it feels like Nathan Drake.
Yeah. Yeah, Tom Holland didn't feel
no
like Nathan Drake to me. He was he's too young looking.
You ever watched Uncharted, the fan film with Nathan Fillion as Nathan Drake? Mm-mm. You should watch it. Like, that is like peak Uncharted like live action.
Yes.
It looks and feels exactly like Uncharted, and Nathan Fillion pulls off Nathan Drake really well.
Because he voices Nathan Drake, right?
No. Nolan North voices Nathan Drake. Yeah. No, he's just, I think he's kind of based off of him.
Sure.
Like, he fits that mold. And last little bit, Sean Levy, the director from Deadpool and Wolverine, is in works to direct Star Wars. Maybe that movie will be good. Maybe.
Pray.
Hey, let's get into the boys. That's where I need like a little segment. Do 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 do. Gotta make some new sounds this summer. All right, let's answer that question. Does season 4 seem off?
Yeah.
How many times have you watched season 4?
Just once.
Just once. This is because I did this in the TikTok too. I asked like, does it feel off? Because it feels off. Mm-hmm. At least initially. When I watched it the second time, it feels less off. It fits in more, I think. Mm-hmm. I think it's different. There's a time skip. The boys feels less of a CIA operation and feel more like a superhero team. Mm-hmm. Like, you ever watch CW shows like The Arrow, Flash? It reminded me of one of those teams that were like, they're all helping Starlight. Not necessarily, but it felt that way at times.
I think some of the change might be the fact that Butcher's no longer running the boys.
Yeah.
And it's a different take. So, like, the first op that we see, and, like, it's the first scene where they're trying to get at Victoria Newman. Mm-hmm. Like, it reminded me very much of, like, a Mission Impossible scene. Mm-hmm. Like, a Tom Cruise Mission Impossible movie. And I think that has to do with the difference between Mother's Milk's, you know, leadership style and Butcher's style. So I think that's part of it, that Butcher's not really running the boys anymore.
Well, that's how we left. That's how we started season three, though, because Huey was running it.
But Butcher was still really involved.
Yeah, he was like the main guy.
Like, he was still running the scenes from behind.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was like the infield leader, where Huey was more the overcharge supervisor. Right. Like, he was the lead, whereas Huey was the supervisor, where this one is like MM's both.
There's a little old adage where they, you know, have you ever heard the things that's talking about like NCOs and officers in like the army and stuff like that? They're always saying like, yeah, technically, you know, the lieutenant's the leader of the platoon.
Yeah.
But the ranking non-commissioned officer, usually the sergeant or master sergeant, is the one that actually makes it work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was kind of, I think Butcher's the, he's the sergeant.
Yeah.
In there.
He's the one where, like, when things go to shit, he's the one that takes over and, like, pushes the team through. And we see that this season where, like, a couple times, actually, season episode 3 and episode 4.
Yep.
Where was it episode 3 where they were, like, with Firecracker and
Splinter? Like, yeah, at the...
I forget if it was which episode that is.
Yeah, where they're at the conspiracy convention.
Yeah.
That whole part was great, too. What the hell? Dear God. Splinter, man. Whew.
I have a story, a personal story on that.
Is it about Pink Eye?
It is.
Oh, no.
Sapphire at Pink Eye this week.
Uh-oh.
So, and it's probably because of the fact that our toddler probably touched something and poked it in the eye, and she got Pink Eye a few days later. But she told me, like, because she woke up, I woke up, and she was there. Because usually she leaves way earlier than I wake up. And I'm like, oh, hi. And she was like, I got pink eye. I'm like, whose ass did you eat? It wasn't mine. She didn't really care for that joke.
Yeah.
That was legitimately the first thing I asked her. I was like, whose ass did you eat?
I mean, it's usually always like, oh, yeah, did you eat an ass? Did you fart on some? Did someone fart on your pillow? Mm-hmm. You know, what happened? How'd you get poop particles in your eye? So...
Yeah.
I probably would have made the same joke.
I mean, I think it was like a day or two after we watched that episode too.
Nice.
So it was very fitting. But yeah, we with MM we kind of saw that a little bit, right? That group, they were getting their ass beat. Butcher saved the day.
Mm-hmm.
Same with this last episode with the the stretchy dude, I forget his name.
Ezekiel.
Yeah, with Ezekiel, like, he comes in, he saves the day. He's the one that takes over and, like...
Dude, I really want to know what Butcher did with the worms in his head, and then all of a sudden there was just gore everywhere, and you're like, what the fuck just happened?
That is
the big mystery.
That is a mystery, yeah.
Oh, I was looking... I think they continued the episode. Did they show anybody directly after that?
Oh, I don't...
I was trying to watch for that.
I don't think so. This episode 4 is the only one I didn't watch twice yet.
Okay.
So I don't know. That one is like, I'm not quite like picking up the little things.
Mm-hmm.
I did rewatch all of like the boys. I've caught up to that point. I really like that I got to watch it because I pick up more on more things.
Yeah, the second time.
Me and Donald, the listeners will hear this. Me and Donald kind of talked about the boys when we did our Acolyte segment. And... he brought up the Kimiko Frenchie relationship because, mm-hmm. like, maybe this is the part of like why it feels so off. There was a couple of TikTok answers that are like, "Well, it's probably because MM and you know Starlight looks completely different." And I'm like, "I mean, that doesn't help."
Right.
I don't think that's it, but it doesn't help. The boys have changed. I mean, Frenchie and Kimiko, their relationship is so different.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, the relationship is actually like. In my opinion, naturally where it should be at this point.
Right.
Because they were never like star-crossed lovers.
Yeah, they're always brother, sister.
Yeah.
Like, take care of each other type of relationship.
Well, Frenchie, like, his whole thing is he picks up strays.
Right.
He cares for people. And then he, like, falls in love with them. Like, that's literally his thing. That's what he's doing this season.
Mm-hmm.
With Kimiko... she's never been like, she's never had a chance for romance.
Right.
She's never been like, for her, it was just survival. Frenchie was a needs for survival, and through that, like, Frenchie became family. And, like, there was a point where they kissed, and there was, like, that, will they, won't they? And she's like, you're family. At the end of the day, you are family.
Right.
But, like, if you grow up with family, unless you're the Flash on the CW show, do you really look at the person and be like, yeah, I want to fuck them?
Right.
So it's an interesting connection where I'm like, I think if you put all the pieces together, it makes sense. But if you, like, haven't watched The Boys, or if you haven't, like, binge-watched it, it seems off when you, like, hey, look, it's The Boys. Like, oh, everything's so different.
Yeah.
There's one particular scene, though, where it felt off for me. And that was when the Starlighters and the Homelanders were fighting each other. And, like, they, like, were like, oh, shit. And they all rushed in. And, like, MN, Frenchie, they were, like, all trying to, like, save the day by, like, pushing people aside. And I'm just like, what the fuck are they doing? They're a co-op CIA team. Why the fuck are they in public?
Right.
Like, what are they going to do?
And why are they in front of a bunch of cameras?
Yeah.
You know, revealing everything about them.
Mm-hmm. You know, and then at the end of the day, he saves, is it Colin? Is that his boyfriend?
Yeah.
He saves Colin, and they, like, make out in front of the camera, which that's fine. But it's, like, so, like, zoomed in and camera, like, this feels like a VOD movie now.
Right.
There's just, like, moments where, like, it feels like it's a VOD film.
Speaking of VOD films, I legitimately thought that was a flashback with Will Ferrell. I was like, is this a flashback? Did this really happen to A-Train? And I was like, why the fuck is Will Ferrell in here? What the shit? That was great. That was a great cameo. I was like, what?
The director is funny because he's done this a couple times where he's like, oh, man, that is a great take. We don't need more of those. All right, let's roll again. Mm-hmm. I don't know why he keeps doing that. It's like the second or third time I've, like, seen it.
Yeah, that was a great cameo.
It was. I was happy to see Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
All right. Do we feel like The Boys are effectively just superheroes at this point?
No. I still don't think they're superheroes. I mean, obviously Starlight is, but...
Yeah.
Like, they're still very fragile. They can be killed.
It is, like...
And we saw that in the part of the fight with Firecracker. They're like, they were almost dead. Like,
yeah.
If Butcher didn't show up, they would all be dead.
Very much so.
Yeah.
I feel like...
I still feel like they still feel like the underdog compared to superheroes. At least in my view of them.
They very much are. Most of them aren't superpowered.
Right.
Other than Starlight. Like, it... Going back to the reference of the CW, it does feel like it is now a CW team. For good or for worse, it's not exactly there, but it's starting to feel that way. Whereas now that they have Annie, now that they have Starlight, like, she is now the face. Like, she is effectively a superhero trying to fight down Vaughn. So maybe it feels that way. Or maybe in the flip side, it feels like Vaughn and Homelander is starting to become that cartoony, like, comic book villain that we know, like, more of them to be.
I don't know if they... talked about this. I don't remember if they brought this up anymore, but the part where he's talking in the mirror that's shattered, like, are they because maybe it's just because I just watched Split, but are they suggesting, like, Homelander's trauma is that does he have DID?
I think so. I think
because, like, literally he was carrying on a conversation and each one of those was an entirely different Homelander. Yeah,
I don't know if they're going Split, but I think, like, it's to a point where it reminded me of Spider-Man, Green Goblin, where once he took the juice, Norman then has, like, nice Norman and then evil
Green Goblin
Norman in the mirror. So that's kind of, like, where I took it as. But I don't... This is the first time that this has come up.
Okay, I thought it was.
I don't... Yeah, I mean, I just rewatched all the Boys. He's never really showed this. This is new. I'm curious of, like... if this has always been a thing or if this is just like he just developed this.
Yeah, like he finally cracked, broke for real.
Which makes he's in such an interesting place. He has no one above him. He is the guy. I think his story is interesting though because like he's now like all he ever wanted was human that human connection, right? He wanted that appraisal. He always had someone above him. This season, he doesn't have anyone above him. And everybody's around him, they're just doing whatever the fuck he wants because they don't want to piss him off. And I think it's an interesting story bringing in Sage and then him having, like, the awareness to know that, like, he needs someone, he needs help. Mm-hmm. He needs someone to bounce ideas off of. But he's also, like, threatening and intimidating people. Like, it's a weird, like, dichotomy of, like, personality. Like, you're trying to be, like, this person that, like, has a team and working within that team, but also, like, trying to threaten people.
I like how they talked about and said that they had basically programmed into him that kill switch of needing human, like,
yeah,
what did she, like, he needing human approval.
Mm.
That was very interesting that they, like, talked about that in the lab with that main psychiatrist.
Yeah,
where it's like, yeah, we programmed you to be that way so that. And I was like, whoa,
that was such a reveal.
Yeah,
that I was waiting to talk about that episode or that storyline for Homelander, but I mean, we can dig into it now. Yeah, too,
whatever.
That was, like, the stupidest thing she could have done in that moment.
Oh, I know.
Like, why are you giving him the door out of that mindset? Because that is the only thing that is keeping him, like, tamed.
Right.
Where do you think he goes?
From there? I mean, just by looking at him, that last scene where we see him and he's just covered in gore, I think that's where we're in, that's where we're going. I think he just finally maybe got some sort of closure right there and being like, okay, this weakness that I thought I've had this whole time actually isn't a weakness. It was just, I was raised and programmed to be like that. So I think he's going to become more unhinged.
I think he, like, learned that his weakness, his kryptonite, was something that's not it's not biological.
It wasn't in him.
It was something that was taught. Yeah, he was taught that. And the thing about psychology is if you are taught something, you can unteach yourself it. And my, like, her saying that was just the dumbest thing. And I know in her mind, she only said it to get at him. Mm-hmm. Like, haha, we were deceiving you this entire time. Like, yeah, you probably know that he's murdering you regardless. Mm-hmm. You're dead regardless. That's, like, the one thing you should have kept to yourself. That was the scene that Eric Kripke was saying that's the most horrifying scene they ever did.
Yeah.
That laughter at the end was not scripted. That was Anthony Starr doing it unscripted.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God damn, that is...
Yeah, that was a very traumatic episode. And each one you cut back, you're just like, oh... I feel dirty all of a sudden. What's going on? What's going to happen next?
That's why I think he's, like, one of the greatest villains of the last century. Because, like, you just don't know. Like, you knew that he was probably going to end up massacring him. But how?
Mm-hmm.
How was he going to do it? In what ways?
And what was his reason behind it?
And, like, he got what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the fact that he murdered them and he got revenge. He got the answer he's looking for, that he was being controlled this entire time.
Mm-hmm.
It was great, though. It is a scary moment for Homelander.
Did he get the reason why they did that all to him? Because I think that was one of the questions that he was asking a lot of them.
It's because when he was born, he killed, like, three nurses.
Yeah, that's right.
And they were just so terrified of him because, like, he was born a monster. And they treated him as a monster.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came back as a monster. And so it's also hard to root for him. Because you're like, yeah, he is a monster. He is fucking nuts. Like, but it's also, you kind of have to feel bad. Because, like, he was born into people thinking him this way.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's kind of, like, why I like Homelander. He's, like, in a weird way, like, he's sympathetic. Like, he wasn't born evil. He wasn't evil to be evil. He grew up with a bunch of fucking power and people treating, like, he had a miserable childhood.
Mm-hmm. Abused and tortured and
Yeah.
Test subjects, see if they could kill them in different ways. And needless to say, yeah. Like I said, I don't know. My whole thing is, like, I think that this whole season is dealing with trauma.
Yeah.
Like, it is so in your face. And every single character where you're like, oh, yeah, they're totally a good person or whatever. And then you're like, holy shit, Starlight was, like, abusing and bullying some girl and calling her fat and ugly and poor and shit like that.
Yeah.
And then, like, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I understand why Firecracker rightfully hates Starlight.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, oh, never mind. Firecracker's a fucking weirdo, you know?
Yeah.
She's an alt-right asshole. And then at the same time, then you're like, oh, yes, feel sorry for Starlight. Oh, why was she bullying people? And then, like, I've just been running this roller coaster of up and down. Like, every character, I'm like, I'm loving you and hating you all at the same time.
I think there's only one character that I love, and I'm scared that I'm loving this character.
Yeah.
That's A-Train.
Yeah, I'm kind of liking him more, too.
He's dying this year. I that's my prediction. That's going to be like my major prediction for season four. I'm changing it. A-Train's dying this season. Mm-hmm. I don't know how. He's the only character that's really working on a redemption arc and likable this year or this season so far. I'm assuming all the boys themselves kind of turn it around at the last couple episodes, and you find them in a spot where they're more likable. A-Train's, like, likable from the start after everything. Meaning, I'm like, generally that means they're going to die.
Probably.
It seems like it.
It's just crazy that even characters that they never introduce, and, like, Huey's mom, you're like, oh, yeah, she abandoned them. I'm like, yeah, I understand Huey's pissed. And then you're like, oh, she went through crippling postpartum depression for 10 years.
Yeah.
And she tried to kill herself, and she didn't. She was either leave or die. And you're like, oh, okay, I kind of get that.
I love how much they go through, like, the psychology of it.
It really, like I said, it's all about just trauma this year. And everyone's, like, what I took out from those first four episodes is, like, there's a reason kind of people do what they do. And even the most villainous person probably has suffered some sort of trauma.
Yeah. No one's evil. They were born evil.
And no one's purely good.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, Starlight has her issues. She's probably the most morally good character, but she was a piece of shit when she was a teenager. The whole abortion thing, I don't think was... I think it's, like, their attack on her.
Mm-hmm.
But also just beating the shit out of Firecracker, too.
Oh, right, yeah.
It's like, oh, Annie, that's, like, the worst thing you could have done here. But also, it probably feels good to just...
Yeah.
I know Firecracker is, like, the one-on-one comparison to Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like all of the writers, not to get overly political, but this show is very political in that nature. Me being more on the left side of things, when I hear Marjorie Taylor Greene talk, like, the internal urge to just want to, like, punch her face is very much there. Mm. And I feel like it's very much the inspiration to Starlight actually taking that action in the writer's room. Because some of the things they say, or some of the just, like, the shit they spew, like, that she spews and Firecracker spews, is just like, oh, this person's just, like, the worst.
I'm also gathering out of that just alts of any kind are pieces of shit.
Yeah.
On both sides. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what I'm getting out of it, personally. And that's maybe that's just because it's always been my like, outlook on things.
Yeah.
Without going too political, like, I feel like alts of either side are the problem.
Yeah, when you get too extreme on either side, where you can't work with both. Yeah.
The other side's story without being, like, just, you know, like, oh, you're a fascist and blah, 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 and all that stuff.
No, let's take time to, like, understand it. And that's getting into the politics of it. But the show very much is, like, on the nose.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the internet's mad at the show. They think, like, oh, the show's the worst now. It's like, no, the show's still good.
The show's literally just showing how we are right now.
Mm-hmm. It's just very much on the nose, and some people don't like that comparison.
Yep.
But I'm like, it makes fun of everybody.
It does.
It's just more on the nose these days, and the writer is obviously like, if you don't like it, watch something else, and I don't know what else you want them to say.
So,
all right, let's get into this. Frenchie-Kimiko relationship, how are you feeling about it?
I never really saw them as a romantic thing, and I think it's just some guilt that Frenchie's seeing why, like, he keeps asking her if she's okay with this, you know, and everything. I don't know. It seemed a little out of place. Like, I felt like through the first three seasons, they were always that big brother, big sister role. And then all of a sudden, he's just like, okay, I'm seeing this guy, and now I'm freaking out about it that Kimiko is going to hate me or something or be jealous or something.
The more I think about it, the more I like it because it's more fitting of their characters. Like, Kimiko not wanting to do Frenchie or, like, be that romantic, that makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. I feel like them running off together as, like, a lovely couple is, like, it didn't make sense because I don't think, like, that's where their relationship was naturally heading. But also Frenchie finding a new stray, but finding a new stray that, like, he hurts. Mm-hmm. And instead of, like, opening about his guilt, he is now fucking them. Like, I do feel like that is very Frenchie-like. But I also, it does feel forced, too. Because, like, hey, here's a brand new storyline you must get into. It's like, well, there's so much other things that are happening. Mm-hmm. That it's like, it's hard. It seems like it's forced here, but, like, it's also how writing works too. Every season there's new storylines. How about the whole Huey's dad storyline?
Yeah, that was an interesting spin because, I mean, he hasn't really been present for a couple seasons.
Yeah.
I guess they kind of left us at the cliffhanger there where all of a sudden Huey was going to jack his dad up on V to save his life, decided not to, and then I'm assuming it's his mom that did it.
Yeah.
Because I rewatched that scene because I was like, oh.
I did a couple times too.
And so, and then I realized Huey puts the V in his pocket, of his coat pocket, hangs up his coat pocket in the room next to his dad, and then leaves the room for a little bit, and then all of a sudden they see the V. And so I was like, the only logical choice is mom
did it.
Shot him up.
Yeah.
We just don't know why or how she even knew that what it was.
Right. She shot him up. The question is it the V that Huey has? Or was it her plan all along?
I don't know.
It's hard to say. Something's weird happening with it. I will say I didn't really care for the storyline initially. The first three episodes, it's kind of like, not that I don't want to see Huey's dad, but I'm like, why is this the focus? Mm-hmm. Like, what's important about his character that, like, his dad needs to have a stroke? But now that there's, like, he's getting turned into a superhero, I'm like, okay, this might be worth it. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting storyline, especially with his mom. But I do like the story like you said about postpartum, because that's something that like, is very real, and I feel like it's very much like not touched upon, and it's something that like I had to go through, help my wife get through too, and it's such a real thing that I'm happy that they brought up that issue as like why she left, because it makes sense. Yeah. Like it's one of those like at least for me, I'm like, oh, I can relate to that. Like I can see why she would be in that mindset, because I've seen that before. I've seen what it can do. The butcher dying story, and now with the fact that he has a mysterious ability, how are you feeling about Butcher?
Actually, I think he had a lot of growth. I think that whole scene where he finally just like levels with Ryan. And it's just basically like, yeah, I'm terrified to die because, and the reason why I push you away and I push everybody away is because he's like, he knows deep down that he's a terrible person.
Yeah.
And even though he loves these people, he doesn't want them to suffer because he is a bad person because he knows he's going to inevitably hurt everybody.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I thought that was a really powerful scene. Like for me, you know, again, just dealing with trauma and everything like that. And like even hard as nails Butcher, like breaking down and like telling us and, you know, Ryan specifically, you know, why he is the way that he is. It was interesting.
During the rewatch, one of the things I really liked about Butcher is like his scenes with his mom and his dad. Because especially with his dad, because you get to really learn like why Butcher is the way he is.
Yeah,
like it's not just the fact that his wife disappeared or was presumably dead. It was no, he was always like this piece of shit person because like he grew up with a home of abuse. His dad was constantly beating him. He had to become the tough brother. He had to become this tough person. And, you know, And like once he left and his brother died and he took the guilt on. And like it just, I don't know. I think Butcher's just really layered. And I really like him as a character. Do you think he's dying? I don't know if I buy that. I think he dies at the end of the series, but I don't know if I buy that he's dying.
I think that he thinks he's dying.
Yeah.
And I think everybody's telling him that he's dying, but I mean that episode four cliffhanger where he just evaporates Ezekiel and we're just like what happens? Like, and then I keep seeing like the worms crawling into his head.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is there something else?
It's a fucking mind flayer.
Yeah, right? Fucking mind flayers after everybody. But I'm thinking of like, well, is this just hallucinations or, you know, because obviously he's hallucinating with his wife throughout the entire thing.
Yeah.
I do like how she's also the driving force that's keeping him alive.
Mm-hmm.
It
makes sense.
Yeah.
I wish that we got to see their relationship more.
Yeah.
That's like not just like Becca in his head, but like him, Becca and him just like normal. Like I want to see like what the relationship was like. So it really seemed like he was a piece of shit person until she came along and she like reined him in. Mm-hmm. And I think like he was a very like person, but she also chose not to be with him and be with Ryan. I would like to see that more explored. So, what do you think his worms is? What's your best guess?
I don't know. It's pretty, I mean, unless they're implying that the V is some sort of parasite or something like that, I guess I don't really know.
I question if he got, if Temp V gave him permanent powers.
Hmm.
That was something that, we recorded with Donald before this, and he was talking about how Huey and like the in moments where he is most in trouble, he somehow like will start to breathe heavy, but he'll just do shit, like he'll just do an amazing thing. And if like there is another form of like superpowers, I don't know, it just, I'm curious what's going on with Butcher.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been A-Tray again too.
Yeah,
it's another option. A-Tray for the win.
Yeah.
Alright.
Oh, that A-Train just blew in and evaporated Ezekiel?
Yeah. That's the problem with speedsters. They can always just come in any scene.
True.
That's like the problem with like the Flash and Arrow.
Right. They're
like, why don't you just call the Flash in? You're like, oh, Flash is doing other things. But there's a couple episodes where he shows up and he saves the day. It's like, you can just do this every time. Mm-hmm. What do you think about New Black Noir?
I think it's hilarious that he just wants to talk and he's just like, you know, trained actor and everything like that. And they're just like, dude, shut the fuck up. Every person, like anytime he talks, he's like, Noir, shut up. And Noel Mallinder, just every time he says anything, he's like, Noir, shut up. Stop it.
I think it's hilarious because he's just like, what's my motivation? Like,
what did he say? You are a brain damaged psychopath. That is your motivation, or something like that. That doesn't talk.
A-Tray is just like, you're fucking brain. What is it? Not brain. I think he did say brainless.
Yeah,
you're a brainless lunatic, or psychopath. Yeah,
brain damaged lunatic, or something like that.
Like, good. That's your motivation. Like that's all. You shut the fuck up and just kill people. Like that's you. That you are.
You are Black Noir.
I just think it's funny the entire time. He's just like, man, people are giving me poor directions this entire time. So this is spoilers for the comics. In the comics, he is actually the clone of Homelander.
Okay.
And is the one who kills Homelander. I don't think he's the clone. But do you think there's any parts of like that storyline that's going to happen?
Well, I'm sure they're going to incorporate something into it.
Yeah.
I don't know what. It's hard to say. Because this whole season has just been like a train of what the fuck's going on
Me.
So I'm just like, okay. It's hard to say they're doing a good
What's
job
your
with half that.
Half-baked take? Half-baked
take on like how they're going to kill Homelander? Or what Noir's role is?
Yeah. at least story-wise.
I think they're going to diverge. I don't know.
I feel like... I don't know what they're going to go. I just think he's hilarious, though. He might... No, he might be one of my new favorite characters.
Mm-hmm. New noir.
New noir. All right. I was going to say Sage in the Deep. We'll wait on that. Redemption story. So there's... A-Train and the Deep have been on a redemption story, kind of, the first, like, three seasons. How do you feel so far with, like, their story in the season four?
Who's the CEO's name? Emily?
Ashley?
Ashley.
Yeah.
I love when the Deep told her to fuck off. I was like, yes. Good for you, buddy. Like, finally, when she just was being just massive cunty to him all the time, and he's just like... No, I'm a superior being. What do you say? I'm the Lord of the Seven Seas, and I will bury you. It was great. I'll
drown you or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like, no, I'll drown you in a toilet after I take a dump in it or something. And I was like, nice.
Deep is like the most hilarious character because he's such a numbskull. Like
he's just an idiot.
He has to be told what to do the entire time, but like he's not. He's like a neutral character. He's not necessarily good or bad. He's just kind of like there. And you kind of feel bad for him because like he's not a shit person, but also like he was a shit person. Mm-hmm. Like he doesn't seem like a shit person now.
Right.
But he's also like when Homelander's like, hey, go suck A-Train's cock or hey, go kill that person. He's like, okay, boss.
Right. I think that's just showing how everyone's so terrified of Homelander.
Yeah.
Like, they're just like, if I don't do this, I'll be bashed in the head with a baseball bat.
I do think it's funny that, like, during that scene, the Deep's are just all in, and the A-Train's just like, and the Deep's just like, it's just a spectrum, right, bro? Just like, shut the fuck up. Like, great, you're willing to do this.
Wasn't that Homelander's whole point is that he was just pissed that no one stands up to him?
Yeah.
That everyone was just, you know, completely spineless.
Mm-hmm. And he's just like, fuck off. No, we're not doing this. And then the next, like, actual instruction, like, all right, kill these guys. Oh, this is just a test. Of course, the Deep's just like, nope, there's purpose here.
Mm-hmm.
I like the redemption story. I didn't know, like, the Deep, it felt like he was very much on this for the last three seasons. But I think he's just... not a good moral character. He's very neutral, like I said before. Mm-hmm. A-Train's definitely on the redemption. He's there. He's already flipped. He's definitely dying this season. I don't think he makes it.
Yeah.
That's
a good assumption.
Let's talk about Sage, and then we'll talk Sage in the Deep.
Hey, Jake.
Yeah?
I got those deep-fried pickles you like.
You repulse me. Wait, what?
Yeah.
How do you feel about the Sage? Or Sister Sage?
I like her character. Yeah, I don't know. I'm fine with her. I think it's funny that, like, Homelander finally realizes that he needs a Sage. Because he can't do it himself.
Mm-hmm.
Then they haven't really, like, all the soups that they've touched on so far have all been, like, we have this physical power, this, you know, whatever. We've never had, like, the masterminds superhero, which is interesting.
I like her power essentially is her brain is just constantly growing.
Yeah, how messed up was that? That she had to lobotomize herself every couple of weeks to, like, not feel anything or not think anything.
Yeah.
And then her brain just grows back.
And then, like, that's when she can enjoy herself. That's when she can just be, like, normal and relax.
Mm-hmm.
I like weirdly empathize with her in the sense of like when you're at least with like ADHD brain, it's not growing, but it's constantly going. Like just the moment of like you do something or you take something, it just slows everything down and how relaxing that is. And I'm like, I get that from that standpoint. And even like what you said, like everyone has something, like that's her thing. Like, that's her, like, trauma almost. Like, she's so smart that, like, she can't even enjoy herself.
Yeah.
And the first thing is, like, you're hot, Deep.
I just love how she's like, scrape it. Scrape my fucking brains out. Wow, this is kinky and weird.
Of course. It's like the smart... It's also funny that the smartest person in the room is like, all right, I'm going to fuck the dumbest person.
Bang the dumbest idiot. The dumbest hot idiot out there.
How do you feel about the other new seven? Firecracker.
Well, I mean, obviously, she's 100% in the seven just because Sage needs the riot to happen.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why she's in there. She's using her.
Yep. Her ability is to simply just...
Mm-hmm.
And she's strong.
Yeah. She's not a great superhero. That would not be on the seven in any other circumstance.
I like the idea of, like, her stage is, like, right in front of the Starlighters.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like, great. It's just a stage. It's, like, not even, like, a studio or anything. It's mm-hmm. just simply a cheap-ass stage.
I love her costume, too. Mainly the top half of the costume is what I like the most.
Yeah, I mean...
She has good assets.
Yeah, I mean, Turlo would be all over her.
I mean, most people would. I mean, I feel...
I do. I think it's funny, though, like... She's very much Marjorie Taylor Greene,
mm-hmm.
or like pretty much any MAGA that's like all about Trump. Like, she represents those, like, that set of people. I do like the scene where she's like in the tower with Homelander and she meets him for the first time. She's like, I will do anything. And he's like,
I got it.
Yeah, fuck.
I got it. Anything. Okay.
All right. We have Homelander. He's openly just killing people now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, I got away with murder once. Like, oh, Huey's here. I'm just going to fucking start lasering the building.
Yep. That whole Vought on Ice scene was the most beautiful disaster I've ever seen on film.
Yeah.
I'm just like, it just kept going. So you're like, first he lasers the Maeve person, you're like, oh man, that's intense, and then everyone freaks out and like people are like running over fingers with ice skates, and that one dude like throws his legs over the side and like cuts the dude's neck open with his skate accidentally, and I was just like, this is amazing.
I remember just watching like, oh, they're definitely going for it here.
Oh yeah. No, they went.
I'm like this is like very much unnecessary, but I'm like, I kind of enjoyed the bit. I was just like, fuck it. They stuck with the bit.
It was hilarious.
Like, okay, he only murdered like one person, but it turned into a thing. And then afterwards, there was a fire killing several people. Like, yeah, I don't know how you even like attempt to explain, mm-hmm. but it's not good for Homelander.
Someone's
got to be like in the world of the boys. Like, you think somebody would start putting the pieces together of all these people dying?
Because
mm-hmm. like, there's the Ryan save scene too, and I thought that was a funny moment where they're just like, they're practicing, they're going through lines for Ryan's first save, and then Homelander, who wasn't supposed to show up, shows up like, haha, everybody pay attention to me. He's a complete fucking narcissist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like the. I did call it, didn't I?
Oh, Homeboy?
Homeboy.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's such a narcissist. He's going to be either Homelander Jr. Yep. or Homeboy.
Yep.
Homeboy's a cool name.
Yeah. I love how this suit is exactly the same. Like, literally his suit.
Yeah. And, like, that disdain when Sage is like, no, the storyline works better for our cause. And he's just like... growling, like he knows that she's right and is making good points, but he's also like, no, people, like, he's great because I'm great. And he comes down in that scene and he's like, throw him, Ryan, it's okay. And the guy's just like, I can take it.
And he just splattered him on that side of the bank or whatever it was. He's like, whoo, damn.
I don't know how anyone's like looks at this and like, like, the president is very much freaking out. Mm-hmm. President Singer is. What's the segue to that? Victoria Newman.
Yeah.
She was very much first episode, but kind of...
just disappeared.
I mean, she was there with Huey in that talk, but yeah, after the first...
she didn't play a big part, yeah.
Did you know that the actress who plays Victoria Newman is actually dating Jack Quaid, who plays Huey?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't see that... she's way prettier than he is.
They're dating.
Oh.
Actually, like after I learned it, like after watching episode one, and then I like looked, I saw it. I'm like, oh, that explains why they're like very flirtatious mm-hmm. towards each other in nature. I'm like, yeah, that transcends the scene. I thought it was interesting. Like they were just the first bit was trying to kill her, but do so in like a very like minute way,
mm-hmm.
and then like she like finds Huey and is like, you guys suck at your jobs. Like I found you like right away. And then Huey tries to kill her, and the butcher kills her. And the entire time, she just laughs at him and doesn't take it
personal.
Like she's not, yeah, like, by their rights, they should be dead.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, in the scene where Huey is in the vents and Homelander's like, oh, I can smell Huey. He's starting lasering. She's actually, like, afraid for Huey. Like, you can tell that, the, like, she cares for him.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was just an interesting dynamic, and then, of course, Butcher makes a deal with her, and then falls back on that deal.
Maybe she was concerned because remember, if Huey dies, then everything gets leaked.
Yeah.
Also, when Butcher was making the deal, I'm like, "Oh, this is Butcher. What did you do?" And all of a sudden, it's just an asshole.
Yeah.
Just a video of an asshole, and she's oh, and was like, "Yes, thank you, Butcher. Thank you." The most butcher thing to do.
There was that part, though, I think it was the first episode where she's like, no, I genuinely, like, almost came out
mm-hmm.
and told you who I was. And I think there is a genuine connection between the two. I think there was a potential, like, love triangle or love angle, mm-hmm. however you want to describe. But traditionally, it would be a love triangle where Huey, like, obviously is with Annie, Starlight, but, like, I think there was romantic feelings on the other side, too. And of course, Huey somehow gets in with both the superhero girl chicks.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what game Huey's rocking, but good on him.
Yeah. Let's talk about the stepdad, MM's. He died.
Yep.
I thought that was a very, like, oh, shit. Because he was, like, the person that made everybody cheer for Homelander.
Mm-hmm.
And now, like, hey, you're one of our biggest fans. All right, kill him.
I don't get that part either. Why would Homelander pick, like, his biggest supporters to be the ones? Maybe martyrs?
Oh, he did say you're going to be martyrs.
Mm.
Maybe he was, like, the biggest fans because it would be the most believable to die.
During a riot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's probably it. I think Sister Sage probably picked out for reasons, and it hasn't been fully explained. I just think it was sad to see him go. So I'm like, it would be more interesting if he stayed longer, but I'm like, you can't keep every character.
I just love how they implied several times through that episode that the only reason why is because that dude was just packing major meat is the reason why he scored MM's wife.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just this little nerdy guy, but he's just got this baby arm holding an apple in his pants.
Yeah.
I thought, and it's like every person just keeps digging into Mother's Milk. And then he's like, I get it. Enough.
I do like the Black Noir in that scene, though. After he just like, all right, I want the, and he just first one is like, but he's also first one is like, wow, guys, that was fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dude, you started. Like, you just was like, you went. I mean, he played his part really well.
Mm-hmm.
And then A Train was about to do it, and then Black Noir was like, aha, I got it. What about Vicky's evil monster of a daughter?
Oh, a freaking Cthulhu monster? Jesus Christ, dude.
Like, and, like, the actual lights are going, but it's just Starlight, but, like, it really seems like she's just, like, this evil mm-hmm. entity. How does it... I'm happy Ryan got out of there.
Yeah.
Because, like, if they did do something, like, that's five tongues.
Ooh. Maybe he shouldn't have got out of there, then.
He might be the only one who might be fine.
Yeah, I'm sure he would be fine. Ooh. It's like making out with the Predator.
Could you imagine, like, you take V and you're like, oh, I wonder what superpower I'm going to get. And you just get, like, fucking tentacles.
I become a Mind Flayer.
Basically. And there's so many Mind Flayer references. I can't take it.
Yeah.
Our D&D episode, our last NPC.
Oh, God.
Our NPC turned into a Mind Flayer, and I'm still reeling from it, and the boys is not letting me let it go.
Dude, that was brutal.
It was.
Like, I was all set to be like, you know, yeah, this guy actually seems cool. I think it'd be cool to be like, you know, teach this guy stuff. Like, nope, he is now a Mind Flayer, and you killed him.
Mike's, yeah.
That's a whole to be thing. Fair, that was written in, so it wasn't just him being a dick, but
it was written in?
Yeah. Because okay. That's a pre made campaign that we're playing, so
yeah.
That was one of the pre written ones. Was that
the entire time he was just yeah. That's a whole other, that's a good conversation to have. I somewhat wish that was like being filmed
mm-hmm.
or recorded. Vicky is she a bad guy? I feel like she's so neutral.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's personal. I don't hate her.
There's a reason why she's not killing Huey and Butcher, and a reason why she's not popping Homelander's head or anybody in Bot's head, because I think she's looking out for herself, I think is what she... I think she's using everybody to gain power.
I still want to know what her endgame is. We already, like, questioned that. Power for what, though?
Right.
And the idea of, like, she doesn't want to out herself as a soup
mm-hmm.
as when she takes over as president.
So does her running mate know that she's a soup? I think they clearly...
Yeah, yes. The president singer wants her dead.
Mm.
Like, he's the one who's sent Starlight and them to kill her. And he wants her... Like, he very much knows.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting because Homelander even asked her, like, what's your gain in this? Like, are you want power? Do you want, like, we're here trying to, like, essentially revolutionize superheroes. You can be the face of that,
mm-hmm.
but you don't want that. What's your game?
Yeah, I don't know. She's still a mystery.
She is. All right. I think I ran out of questions.
Okay.
Is that all of it? Do you have any other?
Oh, the other thing I was going to say is, man, that part, that scene where they are interrogating all of their employees and like in there because they wanted to find the mole.
Oh, yeah.
And like he's like, no, I promise. And I was just like, part of me, like he did it so believable. I was like, mm-hmm. oh, maybe he's actually going to like forgive it. And the instant she goes, yeah. And then I leaked something to Starlight, boom, and just hole in her head. Lasers. I'm like, all right, that makes sense. I guess I was getting my hopes up or something. Do you notice that in directly after that scene, Ashley shreds her resignation letter? Yeah. I was like, yeah, I probably would too.
Oh, I would almost just disappear from the planet.
Yeah.
Or like, I would just like be gone. And I don't think they would care that much.
Yeah.
Unless like you need like the person to be the face at the time.
Yeah, I think they forced her, essentially said like you're gonna stay here and be the face.
Do you think she's just a character that's gonna fall on the wayside, or do you think she's gonna come up big?
Or maybe also. She might come up big, and maybe she's will be a whistleblower of some sort that gives something to the boys.
Yeah.
That gives them an edge or something.
I don't think she is. She might. I mean, it would make sense. I feel like they're going to do something different with her. I don't know what. I can't really... I feel like it's going to be something that we haven't really think of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if she makes it at the end.
No, probably not.
My other question is, does Stan Edgar ever make an appearance back on the show?
I don't know.
Because I feel like he would be like... Because he's still alive. Mm-hmm. He's somewhere. Maybe a Homelander asks him to help with Vought.
Could be.
Or he just murders him.
I was going to say, or that's the final revenge straw for Homelander. Finds him and offs him.
Maybe Edgar like is in a bunker somewhere and like he has to like overcome all the defenses that Edgar has. And I imagine he has some pretty good defenses.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't have any other things to go over. I think we pretty much covered all the...
Any favorite new characters?
The one I already mentioned. I mean, Sage is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
New Black War is definitely up there.
Yeah.
He's probably like one of my favorite. I don't really care about the Colin storyline.
No.
I don't really care about...
It seemed forced.
Huey's mom... There's a lot of like new storylines that I'm like... They're interesting. I like them in their moments. But with all of it together, I don't know how I feel about it. Like, season 3 is one of those, like, it just took off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was so intense from the start, and it was just a ride. Whereas this season seems like it's like, all right, we're going to slow things down. we're going to character build all of these people. Mm-hmm. And everybody's in a really bad spot.
Yep.
I don't hate it. I think me and you are both on the same side of, like, we're enjoying it.
Yeah, no, I'm enjoying it. It's humanizing everybody very much in my mind.
Which hopefully leads to a better finale.
Yeah, hopefully.
All right, so since we're there, what's your rating so far of the season?
It's hard to rate it with when, you know, we need... Because, you know, we could rate it like, yeah, these have been great episodes right now, and then they could just shit the bed on this finale.
Yeah.
And it could go from a 4+ to, like, a fucking 3-, or something.
Or the opposite,
too. Or the opposite. I don't know. It's hard. I'm floating right around, like, the 3+.
Yeah.
It's slow. It's so slow.
It's 3+, 4- yep, for me. I think I might be leaning 4-. Like, it's still great, but it's, like... the worst season so far.
Yeah.
At least the first 4 episodes. But I also don't think it's as bad as people... A lot of people are like, oh, it's falling off the rails. I'm like, it didn't fall off the rails.
Yeah.
It's very much the point. Especially the second viewing, once I got used to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no, this is still interesting.
Yeah.
It's just on the nose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the only thing I'm like...
I think people are uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
I think either side of your spectrum, I think... people are watching this and they're like, this is such a visceral take on what, like I said, on the nose, like visceral take of like what our situation is currently. Like, I feel uncomfortable watching this because I'm a part of that.
Like our world, like it's supposed to be fiction.
Mm-hmm.
The Boys feels realistic.
It is.
Outside of the superhero aspect of it. But it, like everything else, this is what's happening in our nation. Mm-hmm. Not to get too political into it.
And I think that's what's making people uncomfortable.
Yeah. I did. The last little bit, I think we already talked about it too, is the internet is mad. How do we feel about that?
Internet's always mad. No matter what.
Or they're in love with like the random thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like...
Huck 2 girl?
Yeah. Just got a Huck 2 and spit on that thing. And I'm like, I know why people are into it, but I'm like, why? I don't get why it's taking.
I don't know either, man.
It's just a random question, but now she's...
she's just some drunk girl after at bar clothes and just, like, was drunk saying shit, and she's now the most popular person on the internet for some reason.
Or just saying...
spit on it.
Spit on it. Like, it's, like, the most basic advice you could probably give.
So apparently, that's the one thing. That's what the liberals and the Republicans are going to come together on during this next election. You know, we'll put aside our differences, but... we all believe just spit on it.
I've given that advice before.
Huck 2 Girl is just going to, like, change the world for us.
She's going to unite us all.
She's going to unite us all. That's my, yep, that's my my prediction.
All right. I mean, something is going to unite us.
Might as well be that.
Might as well. All right. Last little bit, and then we'll call it good. MVP so far.
Ooh.
I had a hard time coming up with this, but I think I have my answer. No, I do have my answer.
I think A-Train's MVP so far.
That's my answer.
Because he saved Huey.
Yep.
Literally.
Yep.
Got Huey the V.
Yep. They made up.
He gave Starlight the thing, the video showing, proving that her followers were innocent for the murders.
He flipped too.
Yeah. Then he, he flips. They didn't go out and say like, "Yep, I agree," or anything. But it's all but.
Yeah, he's flipped. He's so dead.
Oh yeah,
he's dead. Probably talking dead. Like I would be more surprised if he didn't die. I'm like, oh man, this is such a good character. I'm like, oh shit, he's dead.
Yeah. No, A-Train's, he's definitely like from when he first started. I thought he was just a total douche canoe, but like. He's one of the really one of the more relatable.
He's the Jamie Lannister of us.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I think I did describe the Deep as the Jamie Lannister, but I think definitely he's.
I think A-Train stole it.
Yeah, I think A-Train's got that.
Yeah. My other, I couldn't come up with the number two. I had MM, but I'm like MM Homelander for his just the Anthony Starr might get like best actor so far.
Yeah,
because he's That last scene with Homelander, that diabolical, like, goddamn. Like, for entertainment-wise, Homelander might be number one. But I think character-wise, best character moment, A-Train. I don't even have Huey on the list.
No, he was kind of non-existent this so far this season.
Yeah, it's like the most disappointing, I think, is Huey's lack of involvement.
Yeah.
It's a main character. He needs to be part of it. So, all right. I think that's it. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
All right, we got Donald here.
It's me, Mario. Thank you, Jake.
I did it again. All right. So, Donald, just want to get your thoughts on the boys. Technically, we haven't, me and Tom haven't talked about it, but in the recording, me and Tom have. So, what is your thoughts on season four so far?
Season four so far. You know, there's one thing that I think that I agree with. You see that Emmy nomination for the actor of Homelander?
Mm-hmm.
100%. I think Homelander, phenomenal. If there is a movie that should have been done almost the same way, The Joker. Like, that's...
Yeah.
How you make the Joker. He is 100% exactly how you make a Joker. Because the way he's pulling it off right now, I'm like, yep, that makes sense. I love it. I absolutely, it is fantastic. Getting his little trauma backstory still into it, mm-hmm. kind of like you'd see the Joker probably having a trauma backstory. He plays a better Joker. He does. He's fantastic, and it's great.
I don't,
he's super powered Joker.
I don't know how I feel about this yet. But he very much is starting to be like that cartoon comic villain that we know in like main stories. Like he is turning into that person where he no longer gives a shit about people. Like he, you see his de-evolution of giving a shit about humans.
Humanity, yep.
And the need for humans where it's like, ooh, this is, shit's going to be scary soon. Like it. I will say, well, Eric Kripke, he said there's a scene that is super like horrifying, like the most horrifying scene yet. And they were talking about that Homelander scene at the end of episode four, where he straight up massacres all the lab people.
Yep.
And that apparently the laugh at the end was the one thing that like was not in the script.
Yeah. It's great. I just hope he doesn't become that character in real life. He's doing it so well. It's like, gosh, dang it.
Like,
can't love that enough.
I do question if, what is it, Anthony Starr? I think that's the actor, right?
Anthony Starr, yep.
Yeah. I question if he's just a straight up fucking dick in real life.
I wonder if he is, but because I want to meet him so bad.
He,
if there's a con with Anthony Starr in there, I'm going just to meet him. I just want to see if he's a dick, and I just want to see he's like, because I gotta know.
Like, I almost feel like he has to be a dick in real life because he plays it so well, like, on
screen. He plays it way too good on screen.
Like, I think of, like, Pierce on Community.
One other thing I do like to talk about, talking to the boys, things that I like, I'm Butcher. I just enjoy Butcher, too.
Yeah.
His attitude, his demeanor, always enjoy Butcher in the show. He's got that same consistent storyline.
Mm-hmm.
It's still happening. You know, he can see dead people now. It's great. Makes sense for Butcher as he's dying or dying, maybe. I guess.
What do you? Okay, I wrote this question as what's the deal with Butcher? Something's happening with him, and I like, you know, like there was that scene where he killed,
the priest.
He blew him up. There's something slithering in his back. What the fuck's going on with him? Like, I have no idea. Like, I do not know.
Yeah, like Jeffrey Dean Morgan, no one else has seen that character. Is that like, who is that? Is that his dad? Because no one's actually talked to that guy either.
Not his dad. I doubt it's his dad because his dad had flashbacks.
Yeah, but who is this guy? Is he real too? Like, who is real and Butcher when we see him?
That's a good question. Good.
How do you know?
Good point.
Because no one else has talked to him. No one else has seen him. Who are these people? Usually his wife. He's seen dead people. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the snaky thing that's going on in his body, I don't know what that is.
I think he has powers and he doesn't realize it.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see Huey doing the same thing, though, with Huey's heartbeat.
Yeah.
Every time the Huey scenes, all of a sudden he gets a really fast heartbeat, and all of a sudden he beats the shit out of whoever he's by. It's like the sixth time now, and you're like,
did they develop powers potentially through
Tempe? Maybe.
I don't know.
No, but even before, he was always had that heartbeat where all of a sudden he pulls something miraculous off. So I think they've just had it.
Interesting.
Natural human ability, I think.
Could be, yeah. Adrenaline.
Almost like X-Men kind of style. Mutations.
Ooh, that'd be interesting. That'd be an interesting storyline. Just like general mutations, and that's where Gen V come from.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, it reminds me of like One Piece, and I know you haven't watched the show yet. It reminds me of One Piece in the sense of like there is are you following?
Oh yeah, I got you.
Okay. So in One Piece there's two sets of ways you can get powers. That's devil fruit powers, and like each devil fruit that you eat comes with different abilities. But another way you can get power is called haki. And they didn't really dive into haki right away until like really much later in the series. And I'm just like wondering, like, all right, the boys, you have Gen V, or not Gen V, but you have like V. That's how you get superpowers. Are they potentially introducing like their version of haki? Like the way you just framed that question makes me think, like, is there another form of superpowers? Like another origin? It'd be interesting.
The origin, another brand?
Makes sense. All right.
To continue with the boys, though, some other stuff. Like, there's some flack back a little bit more this season.
Yep.
I can see why it happens.
Internet is mad. I mean, again.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, which... One of the biggest stressful points, I think, was the Kimiko and Frenchie story.
Yeah.
Like, you got to buy us into their new story. You just can't just throw us straight into some new story. We've been building this for 3 seasons now, and now we all... Left curve! Which, the wokeness... Again, I don't mind the wokeness. Like, whatever. But like, make it make sense.
It does feel off. I feel like, unlike the Acolyte, where like they make a lot of writing decisions, it just kind of doesn't feel like they have a grasp on what they're doing. I do feel like they have a grasp with that storyline. There is also a time skip, right? Like there is a time skip of their relationship, and they've been teasing that like
Frenchie has always been bi, so that's why it made sense. That way.
Frenchie's always been bi. There's been remarks where he's been with dudes there. I mean, there were a throuple, like him, a guy and a girl. There was also the fact that like Kimiko and Frenchie, like there was that whole, they've always had that will they won't they, but like Kimiko has straight up told Frenchie she loves him, but it's more not necessarily she directly said brotherly, but like she hinted that like I love you, but I almost like it's almost too much of like a family thing. You are family, not a lover.
Love you like you say to a family member. Yep.
And I think like that's that evolution. We just didn't see the evolution. And I'm personally fine with it, but I will say it does feel off.
Yeah, it feels a little bit off. Also, I'll be honest with there's so many different stories going on. Like some of the stories, the Frenchie Kimiko stories, at a certain point you got to start falling some characters off as you're trying to close out a show.
Yeah.
You have a lot of open books at the moment. But as far as the show goes overall, I think the show is still pretty good. It is pretty spot on. And a lot of people say complaints against one side. I don't know. I'm always a person in the middle, and I can see them just harp the shit out of both sides. And it's great.
They do. Like
either way, you're like, look at it. Oh, you can see this from either side. This is so hilarious.
Just like
I fucking love it.
Just like the Acolyte, you know, there's the whole political side of it. The boys also have this huge political side, and you have like the conservatives. They're just like, they're making fun of us now. It's like, dude, they've been making fun of you from the start. They just kind of toned it down enough, and they made it more on the nose that people actually like realize they're being made fun of.
Yeah,
I will say like that's
make fun of both though. That's what I think is so great about the show. Like,
I only
you don't recognize some of the things that they make fun of on the other side too.
Yeah,
you're just completely just missing it, and it's fantastic.
Oh yeah, just like the whole playing towards gender and getting like that diversity. Like they made fun of that side so much.
Yeah,
like they make fun of both sides. I will say like the one thing I have my critique is they're almost too on the nose. Like they're almost they're just like, hey, look, Homelander's Trump, ah, and it's like I liked it when it was like more vague. It was vaguely Trump.
Same with like fire. That is the one thing I will want to say. is if it was more vague. I think they went a little too hard-headed this time, because it used to be a lot more subtly vague, where it could have been like could have been anyone else, but this time they 100% just went full on.
I mean,
like
Firecracker is literally Marjorie Taylor Greene. Like, they've literally came out and like, yeah, that's the inspiration. Like, and it's almost to the point where it's like on the nose, you know? Like, I'm like, I agree with the criticism that they're like comparing, but I'm like, it's like too much. Like, just make it. I preferred it when it was more vague. Like, it seems less real. It seems less. It seems like
I preferred the vagueness too. A slightly more vague, because sometimes I think it hits a little too hard too. But I still love it.
Yeah.
So I can get over that, but I think it would have been better if it was a little bit more vague.
Okay. What storyline are you most looking forward to with the remaining four episodes?
Butchers and Homelanders. That's why I started with those two characters.
Yep.
They've always been the ones I've been looking forward to. It's always the only two I really am so invested into, because they both have unique character arcs and storylines. Now, I will say, so far, Ryan's kind of forgettable.
Other than the fact that he completely murdered that dude in front of everybody.
Yep. But overall, he's kind of a forgettable character. He'd almost be better if the show didn't have Ryan, I'll be honest.
I kind of wish Brian was more of like a piece of shit.
Yep, I kind of wish he was more of a piece of shit kid and has to learn how to be better. Would make more sense, not just kind of a whiny superpower.
He's kind of just there.
Yeah, he's kind of just there. He's forgettable.
I agree. But I mean, like, that's also kids, too. I think that's accurate.
He has motivation for Butcher, though, too.
I feel like he's kind of like a, how do I explain it? Ryan reminds me of like one of those kids where they're so sheltered that they don't know how to be themselves. So until like they get to the point where they have to be like out of their parents' like shell, they're kind of mixture. He's a mixture of like Homelander, his mom, and just mostly those two. I was gonna say Butcher too, but I'm like, I don't think that quite makes sense.
He doesn't have Butcher inside of him right now. Are you kidding me?
Oh, that would be great.
Butcher would be an excellent Wolverine. I'm just saying.
Butcher would be a great Wolverine. When Butcher was playing the bot game with Ryan, I loved his tagger name, like his tag name.
Oh, I'm blanking on
it. Don't be a cunt.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, don't be a cunt, wants to play with you. And I'm like, I know Butcher's just like, come on, son, don't be a cunt, play with me. I need to talk to you. It's like, it's great.
Yeah.
That's great. I didn't even think that was a good one. All right. Just so we are good on time. All right. Let's give me your rating and your MVP so far.
Well, I'm still going to give it a 4. I think the show, is still pretty good. I mean, it is a great show still. All political head nose things aside, the show is still there and has the mustard. Mm. I mean, I enjoy it. The Homelander story is just too Joker-like, and that's the kind of the Joker-like I've been waiting for a long time.
Yeah.
I freaking love it.
I think
I hate it, and I love it, but I love it. I shouldn't like a character like that. I'm like, this is not good. Why do I love it so much?
In the preview, I said Homelander might be the best villain of this century so far.
Yeah, I'm like, that's too good.
The guest that I had, he pushed back hard, but I'm like, no, I think he's...
Who else is there?
For greatest villain of the century?
Yeah, who else did he say?
He didn't really give a rebuttal. He just thinks Homelander isn't that interesting. That was kind of the rebuttal.
Shut the front door.
Go listen to the podcast. It's out. Alex Directon Hunts was the one who said it. It was good. It was good. Like back and forth, though. I really appreciate when people do give me that back, that pushback a little bit. But I do think Homelander is one of the greatest like villains up there. If he's not, he's probably top five. At least top easy top 10 for sure.
You can see the slow fade.
I'll have to make a list.
You asking for MVP? MVP. Was that going to be your next question?
Yeah, MVP for the first half. I have one answer. One answer only.
Homelander? Or you thinking the good guy MVP?
This is just MVP for the show.
A-Train.
A-Train, surprisingly. Yep. Didn't see it coming, but A-Train's like the only person.
You didn't see that coming? Shut the front door. I saw that coming.
I saw Redemption. I didn't think he was going to be like the best character. Like from a moral standpoint, A-Train is like the best, like the goodest character in this entire show.
It's kind of horrible. He is like the best character. He hasn't done anything wrong or bad. It's great.
He saved Huey from dying. He essentially saved the boys many times with stories. You know, like,
yeah,
he is generally the best character.
He feels bad if something does go wrong. So most things he don't intend to go wrong. Like the things that did go wrong, like killing Huey's girlfriend, was an accident.
Also, he's dying at the end. Said that. That's my prediction.
He's what?
He's dying this season.
Oh yeah, he's dying. That's my prediction.
Like, it's like, oh wait, he's coming back. He's coming around. That's good. Oh shit, he's dying. He's totally, they're totally killing him off.
He's going to be dead at the end of season 4. I know.
All right.
Are they going to bring Soldier Boy back?
Soldier Boy? Season 5, I think.
I liked that Soldier Boy would be the one. I like that arc between him and Homelander, father, son.
I don't think so. Everyone's calling for Soldier Boy back. I don't think it makes sense.
Jensen Ackles, baby.
Doesn't
really make sense, but it's Jensen Ackles. So, I enjoyed him. I liked the father son. It made sense.
All right. Well, we're closing up on time. Donald, we will see you briefly, and then we're going to talk Acolyte.